Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
So welcome to the Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Today, our guest is Meg. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Let us know where you live and what you do.
So I am currently in San Diego, California, and I have a startup called Moonpads, and it is a company that sells compostable organic pads and tampons on a buy one, get one basis to help eradicate period poverty.
All right. So how you started this business? Like, what was the factor that inspired you to start it?
So I actually worked for a nonprofit and have my own nonprofit for the past 20 years. And we've been working in Tibet, which is a very remote area of Asia. And so when we did a midwifery outreach with American midwives, we recognized that 95% of the female patients that we were treating were experiencing preventable infections. And those infections could be prevented simply by having pads. And so that's called period poverty, is when someone lacks access or can't afford pads or any other materials to actually keep up with daily life while you have your period. So that's period poverty. And I didn't realize how rampant it is. Actually, one in five American menstruators have experienced period poverty. And so I just started distributing tons of pads over in Tibet before recognizing I was causing one problem by trying to solve another. Most pads are made out of plastic. And so it was causing a huge waste problem. And so we started manufacturing compostable pads. And slowly I recognized that those aren't really readily available on the American market. So that's how and why I started my company. A lot of just experiences that led to the creation of Moonpads.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So how do you differentiate your business from the others in the market?
Sure. So like I said, the majority of pads are actually made out of plastic. So the huge differentiator is that instead of putting plastic on the most sensitive areas of our bodies, we use plant plastic. So our pads and tampons, and oddly, tampons are oftentimes made out of plastic too. We make them out of cotton, and our pads have a plant plastic backing. So plastic free is our first differentiator. Secondly, we use organic cotton because the more research I did about menstrual items, the more I recognized how toxic they actually are. Oddly, there aren't many studies on this because they're lacking in the areas of women's health research, but we know that the chemicals found on pads, like dioxins and what's left over by chlorine bleaching and things like that, are actually causing cancer, endocrine disruption, infertility, even heavier bleeding and cramping. So we use organic cotton to steer away from any of those issues. So those are two huge material differentiators. And then thirdly, like I said, we sell on a buy one, give one basis. So I like to say we're like the Toms of tampons. We are having a social benefit, a social impact with our company. We're a certified B Corp, and that means that we are actually giving one whole box of pads away to somebody who can't afford them or access them when a box is sold.
All right. Makes sense. So you, I believe you started this business with some cause and with a lot of insights and experience as well. So how do you measure the success for your business?
Right. So I think this is something that's quite different than just business as usual. One of the biggest KPIs that we use is actually pads distributed to people in need, right? And we're at 1.2 million. And we're really proud of that fact. And that's one of the biggest things that I am proud of as the company owner. Obviously, we also look at our profit, but when we're assessing the success of our business, we look at the triple bottom line. So we look at people, planet, and profit. And people might call me a bad businesswoman, but I really do focus on not having a negative impact on the planet and providing clean products to the market, as well as having a positive beneficial impact on people. And then obviously we need profits to survive. So we're looking at those numbers too.
Yeah, makes sense. Completely makes sense. And obviously, whenever we are looking for success, we have to consider the ticket size and the revenue for sure. And on the other hand, if you are making planet a better place to live, then this is a great contribution. So that's great. So how do you acquire new customers, and what's the process of retaining the current customers?
So pads are a pretty hard sell, honestly. This is not something I had much experience with, honestly, because I've been a zero waste consumer for like a really long time. So I've been using reusables. So I didn't have much experience trying out single-use pads. But now that I've been in this area for years now, I realize just how many bad period products there are. And so it's actually very challenging to convert someone. Because when you start menstruating at the age between the age of like 9 and 14, you're a young woman, like a young girl, usually. Like you're influenced by whoever gave you your first talk on what's going on with your body, because it can be quite alarming. And so there's a lot of trust there in those products that you're introduced to as a young menstruator. And oftentimes people don't stray from that. You know, if somebody was taught like, hey, you use always pads, and that's what's worked, and that's what's been reliable, you've never bled through it, never had any experiences that are embarrassing or like emergency, usually you don't want to make a change because it's risky. You know, the type of risks involved in trying a new period product are like quite large. So what we do to acquire customers, I have a whole team of what I call pad fairies, and we drop off pads with our QR code on them in all public bathrooms that don't already offer pads or are offering pads for money. Because something you might not recognize is in a lot of women's restrooms, they're selling pads or tampons for a quarter. Like, first of all, who carries a quarter around anymore? And second of all, like, why should you be charging for something that should really be free? So we put our pads in there for free. We let people take them out without quarters. And so we let people try our products. We really find that sampling is the best way to convert people. Obviously, we've done a lot of marketing campaigns, but really what we try and have is our ambassadors, or AKA pad fairies, to spread confidence about a new product. Because a lot of people, they're like, oh, I want to go green with my products, but period care is going to be a little tricky because they don't want to take that risk. So we give them a sample for free, show them that it's reliable, comfortable, even better than the conventional ones, and then they're hooked.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So do you think, like, when you are selling this sort of product, probably there is some educational marketing involved as well?
Yes. And that's something that we're really honestly struggling with a bit, because not only is this a stigmatized issue, like not many people like talking about menstruation, even menstruators really try and avoid this topic.
Yeah.
So one, it's like not a really sexy topic. People aren't like, oh, let's talk about menstruation today. but secondly, we've actually been censored on Meta platforms, on TikTok, and even on Amazon. And it's incredibly frustrating because we'll throw marketing dollars at this, and then Meta will come back at us saying like, this is inappropriate content. And we're like, talking about periods? Like,
seriously?
Why? Yeah. So doing educational content is extremely hard for us. And it's something that, you know, we've talked to other femtech startups and they're dealing with the same exact thing. So that's one of our barriers. But we are trying to use marketing as an, like, double as educational because a lot of people don't know the ingredients in their pads or tampons because they're not required to be listed. And a lot of us put a lot more trust in like the FDA than maybe we should. If we've grown up in another country or like travel a lot, we recognize that a lot of the products we're using in America aren't allowed in other countries. They're toxic, right? So, yeah, we really try and get the word out, like not trying to scare people, but saying, hey, check out what's in the products that you're using, because you might want to rethink it.
Makes sense. Completely makes sense. And I believe when you are facing challenges while you are advertising your product on the social media, this is more frustrating state, I think so. So do you have any counter methodology to overcome this problem? Like whatever you're facing on a social media, especially when they are banning your ads, because it, I can believe like it changes the complete marketing strategy at all, right? So how do you counter it?
Yeah, so we've definitely had to just strike a lot of the words that we use. We definitely can't even say the word vagina, even though that shouldn't be a bad word, right? Like it's not slang, it's not bad, it's not dirty, it's like a part of our bodies that we're dealing with. Can't say it. Right. That's a no-no. We also recognize like we can't do the educational pieces that we want to. We can't be saying, hey, dioxins, even though it's scientifically proven, we can't actually say dioxins are associated, correlated with these diseases. And this is an issue. We also, in some platforms, we can't even educate about environmental concerns. Like we can't say, which is a scientific fact as well, like petrol-based plastic takes between 600 to 1,000 years to decompose. Can't say it, right? So we're learning that we really just have to, we actually can't do what we want on all the platforms unless it's a spoken platform like this. They don't catch it. But it's very hard in the, you know, in the text to describe those educational pieces that we really want to be getting out there. So, you know, our workaround is just going straight at it, you know, just having good media for our products and saying straight up like, hey, this is a bioplastic product. You know, it's healthier. We can't be like, it's healthier. We just have to say it's healthy, you know. So those kind of things we definitely have to steer away from. A lot of the lifestyle pictures, you know, obviously there are like lingerie pictures up all over Amazon because Amazon sells lingerie. Yeah. But they also censor like if a woman and a female body is in like panties with a box of pads next to her for some reason. It's like, not even a scandalous picture.
Without the pad, it would be allowed.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
Wild.
So I think maybe it depends on more education for maybe the platforms as well. We should educate the platforms that this is something that is not associated with something that is inappropriate. This is a need for everybody.
Well, exactly. And I've talked to a few people in tech about this because, you know, it's not a person doing the censorship. It's actually AI.
Yeah.
And so AI needs to be retrained to make it clear that like female or menstruating bodies are not something to be censored. Like that's not the issue.
Yeah, and this is medically proven.
Exactly.
Yeah, awesome. So, Nick, that was a nice conversation. I enjoyed it, and I believe there will be some education for everybody in it. And let me know if you can give us a biggest piece of advice.
Well, I think for us, like I said, we've had a lot of challenges. I'm not in the easiest space. CPG is always hard, but then femtech is a whole nother level of challenge. I encourage all founders to really live their purpose keep on going, even when it's rough, even when we face these like obstacles and barriers. I think it's really important to be creative and keep going. There are a lot of ways around roadblocks if you can't go through it. So just encouraging other founders to, you know, rely on each other, keep our heads up and stay positive, because I think, you know, there are a lot of issues in this world. And I think actually there's so many opportunities for business to make the world a better place. So I encourage folks to keep going with their purpose.
Right. All right. That's great. If you can share your website with us, you can spell it over there. And if you want to share your social media handles where people can reach you, it would be good for us.
Yeah. So we can be found at Our Moon Pads, OurMoonPads on the social platforms. And then it's www.ourmoonpads.com to find our shop online.
Thank you. Thank you, Meg. That was great. And again, thanks for joining today. It was a really good conversation. So thank you. See ya. Bye. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. Bye.